And grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Then Jesus entered a house, and a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, hear the word, when his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him. For they said, he is out of his mind. His family. His family was the critic. The teachers of the law become the critics too, in the middle of our reading. And at the end of the reading, then Jesus' mother and brothers arrive. And standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. And Jesus said, who are my mother and my brothers? Who are my mother and my brothers? Here they are. Here are my mother and my brother and my sister, the Church of God. If you read the Bible commentators, some of them will say that the Bible is kind of ambivalent about family. I don't agree with that, but I understand what they're pointing to. They're pointing to texts like that. They're pointing to texts like Luke 14. Jesus says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. I don't think the Bible is ambivalent about family. I think the Bible esteems family, but it does keep it in its proper place, right? The Bible teaches over and over, God, family, work. It's said over and over again, God, family, work. God comes first and has to come first. Where's family? Pretty high, right? Pretty high on the list. The Bible talks the way it does because sometimes people get family wrong. Sometimes people put family first. I love the magicians. They're kind of comedians too. Penn and Teller. You know those guys? And I can't quote them because it's an interview and I wasn't writing it down, but Penn one time said, I love their work, it's funny, but Penn said, I can never become a Christian because most of my family members are not, and I was raised to think that family is most important. And why would I want to be eternally apart from my family? I assure you, life and salvation in heaven forever is the most important thing ever, right? And if you put family ahead of that, you've made family an idol, right? It's an interesting argument, but I think it's mistaken. The Bible is not ambivalent about family. I want us to hear several things about family. First, God created the family. Isn't that right? God created family. God creates Adam. Adam is in perfect fellowship with the entire created order, and even with God himself in Genesis 2, it's not good for the man to be alone, and so God creates Eve. Who created family? God did. And then he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and bring little ones into the world. That's a family. God created the family. I want to say this too. God protects the family. His word erects protections around the family. In the Ten Commandments, the first three commandments about your relationship with God, you shall have no other gods, etc., etc. The first three are all about God. But then the fourth through the tenth commandment switch to our relationship with each other. And what's the first one of those? Honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother. I always say in confirmation class, my favorite commandment. I'm the dad, right? Proverbs 3:1, my son, do not forget my teaching. My son, to pass on things to the next generation. Acts chapter 2, the descent of the Holy Spirit, the promise of salvation. And then St. Peter stands up and preaches, and he says these words, the promise is for you and your children. We want our kids to be saved. The fourth commandment is honor your father and your mother. In Ephesians chapter 6, St. Paul expands that a little bit. I want us to hear these words. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you enjoy long life on the earth. But what's the next verse say? He's been saying, children, obey your parents, honor your father and your mother. This has the commandment and the promise of God. Next verse. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Right? That's the counterbalance. Children, obey your parents. Dad, don't have silly rules. Don't have too many rules. Don't oppress your kids. That's not the same thing as saying don't have any rules, of course. A few rules, easily understood, that's what God wants. God created the family. God protects the family. I always love to remember this. Jesus provided for the future of his own mother, right? On the cross of Calvary, Jesus hangs there for the sins of the whole world, carrying your sins and mine. And who pops into his mind? Mary. Mary and John standing in front of him, behold your son. And to John, behold your mother. Jesus, knowing that John is the only apostle who won't be martyred, and knowing that John will live way past everybody standing there, Jesus provides for his mother. The Bible tells us that God created the family, God protects the family, and God provides for the family. And having said all that, can I ask you this? Is your family perfect? Yeah, no, mine either. One of the imperfections about my family is that I'm in it, right? No, the family's not perfect. And Satan loves to point that out. Look at the troubles in your family. He loves to pull away from us the things that family gives. Family gives us a place to belong, doesn't it? It gives us a feeling of safety. It gives us a sense of identity. And by the way, I would add this. Family gives us the first place we learn how to forgive people. Right? In the church, we talk about forgiveness. What happens in our family? Things that need to be forgiven. When our brother sins against us, what are we supposed to do? I think when the disciples asked that question, I don't think they meant brother like brother in Christ. When they said, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? I think they were talking about family. They're saying, Lord Jesus, my brother is a nitwit. If I forgive him 7 times, is that good? My brother. Family is a place to walk in grace. So, with all those things said, let us look at Mark chapter 3. What is going on there? Think about this. Mark chapter 3, how early in the gospel we are. And as early as it is, by Mark chapter 3, Jesus has already been teaching the gospel, casting out demons, preached in a synagogue. He's healed people. One verse says he's healed many. How many? It just says he's healed many. And people are thronging to Jesus. There was a power in his word and his actions that people were drawn to. They got that God was doing something here. And that should be good, right? That people are flowing in toward Jesus. And what does his family say? He's out of his mind. That's Mary and Jesus' brothers. That's family, right? It's complicated. Family is complicated. What can I say? We love each other. They love us. It's complicated. And they misunderstand the work of God. They misunderstand what God is doing. At that particular moment, I'm not saying always, but at that particular moment, they say, Jesus is out of his mind. I do believe this when you read the text slowly. I think that one of the key phrases, it says that Jesus and his disciples are so busy, they don't even have time to eat. And who's worried about that? His mom. Right? It's just that simple. His mom is saying he skipped lunch. Mom and wife worry about whether we had lunch. I think that's going on in the text. At my last church, voters' meetings, like here, our voters' meetings are Sunday afternoon. But here our voter meetings are short. Isn't that nice? But Mike, in Connecticut, our voters' meetings would go for hours. And because it did, it would come after church. And because it came after church, we'd have a fellowship dinner before the voters' meeting. But this is the pastor's job at the end of the service is to shake everybody's hand, literally everybody's hand. And by the time I was done shaking hands, all the food was gone. You know who worried about that the most? Renee, my saintly wife, would say, you can't skip lunch. And you know what she would do for me? She would bring me Taco Bell, right? Because that's what I want, right? And the day of the meeting, the day before, she'd always say, do you want me to go and get you a burrito tomorrow? So there we were in a business meeting in the church and me eating a burrito. I didn't share it either, because they didn't share the potluck. But I think they were worried about that. Jesus hasn't been eating meals. Okay, the concern is legitimate, right? It's a legitimate concern to say he hasn't eaten. But where they went wrong was they thought that they needed to, I love the phrase, to take charge of him and interrupt the ministry of God. The teachers of the law, I don't want to focus on those guys. They were even sharper in their criticism. The text deals with them. Jesus deals with them. Jesus speaks pretty bluntly to them. But Jesus, in speaking bluntly to them, it's interesting that the next thing the text says is that then Jesus' mother and brothers arrive. Right? They arrive. And what do they say? Call them out of there, right? Bring them out of there. Stop doing the work of God at that particular moment, by the way. And Jesus, again, I love this passage. He looks around at us. Here are my mother and my brother and my sister. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his grace and his mercy, looks at us, looks at all of you gathered here together, and says, this is my family. I've adopted them. I've claimed them. They belong to me. Isn't it wonderful to be a member of a church? Now let me say this. I already asked, was your family perfect? Let me ask you this. Is your church perfect? No, you say too quickly that. No, it's all right. It's not perfect. At my previous congregation, we had a school, preschool through eighth grade. Very often, the principal was a member of the church. But it's hard to find a Lutheran principal in New England. I have to say that. There aren't a lot of Lutherans in New England. So the rule we had was you have to be a Christian. Maybe not a Lutheran, but you have to be a Christian. And one year, we were interviewing candidates. And a very smart candidate, we asked them questions. And we say to the candidate, do you have any questions for us? And this woman says to us, what's the strength of this congregation? Not me, I was associate pastor. The senior pastor said, we're like a family. And then she said, and what's the weakness of this congregation? And what did he say? He said, we're like a family. That's right. We're like a family, for good and for ill, the bickering, the fighting, the love, the support. You don't get one half of that and not the other. It's all there. And as I said, Satan loves to point at the negative stuff. You can't be a part of that family. You can't be a part of that church. And church, just like family, is a place to walk in forgiveness. To say Christ died for everyone here, that's me, that's you, to restore, to make family, to hold together, is our strength and our weakness at the same time. I want to close with a personal word real quick. I already said this, God, family, work. It seems like in this text, Jesus is prioritizing the work way over his family. I want to say something real quick. A lot of times we say God, family, work. This can happen to pastors, but it can happen to anyone here who volunteers to serve, to do the work of the Lord in this place. Here's what I'm going to say. Very often we say God, family, work. God comes first, and then sometimes we can think, well, in the God category includes all the work of the church. I think that's a misstep. Here's the misstep. We think, well, if God comes first and the work of the church comes first, every time there's a situation where I have to say, should I do this work of the church thing or should I be with my family, the church wins every time. I'm just being frank and honest about this. Here's what happens. Suppose I say, this time I pick church over family, but next time church over family, and next time church over family, what has the pastor done? He's neglected his family. That could be the congregational president doing the same, the chairman of the board of elders, the chairman of the board of trustees. Were you called to neglect your family? No. The work of the Lord is to be done. In Mark chapter 3, that time Jesus was to be doing the work of the Lord. But there are times when family has to come before that work. And the reason that's so is that all those other texts I said, Genesis 2, Exodus 20, Acts 2, Ephesians 6, John 19, all still in effect. Because God created the family, God protects the family, and God provides for the family, and the work of the Lord is to be done, and the family is to be preserved. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.